can you tell me the story again?
Starting the recording, and it's live. We're live. Okay, we're live.
Fabulous.
Yeah. Oh, man. So, hey, everybody.
Hey.
How are you?
I'm fine. I thought you were talking to me, so I was just saying hi.
I was talking to everybody, man. Like, it is what it is.
It is what it is. That's fine. Hi, everyone. Hello, George.
Yeah.
So, I don't know what day it is. It's a day. I want to go watch a movie.
Okay. Well, then we'll skip our usual witty pre-episode banter, I guess.
It's so witty. It's the same every time.
It really is. I know. So, hi, everybody. Once again, I'm Jeff.
I'm Rachel. I'm telling you about this movie. It's on TV. I want to watch it.
What?
The new Scream movie, which I've already seen in theaters, but like it's a streaming on the TV, so I want to watch it. So,
okay,
I'm about it all day at work.
Okay. All right. Well.
Does anybody need to know my priorities today?
Our priorities are Scream, not this podcast. That's fine. Right. So, this is Grandma Tell Me a Scary Story, the podcast. Everybody.
Yep, we're a podcast.
Welcome to all the new people, and welcome back to all the old people that have already listened to an episode or three, or maybe five.
Maybe.
Yeah, I'm not going to go any higher than five, because I don't want to be too presumptive.
I think I've listened to two.
Wow, okay. I see how it is. I mean, but it's kind of like the people in Star Wars. They're the only people that have never seen it, because they lived the Star Wars.
Oh, they're the only people who've never seen it?
Well, it's a quote from a TV show that you don't find funny, but I'm hoping there's at least one person in the audience that's like, yep, I get that quote.
Okay, I thought you were being serious, and I was just, never mind.
Yeah. So, anyway, I thought it would be fun today to talk about the Four Horsemen of the Apocalypse.
Okay.
You don't find that as fun as I do you?
No, I don't know. I feel like I know a lot about them. Maybe I watched them on TV. I don't know.
Well, we'll see how much of this is stuff you already knew and stuff you didn't know.
Oh no, I think I'm thinking of what's that? Sleepy Hollow. Have you ever watched Sleepy Hollow?
No.
Oh, they talk about the Four Horsemen of the Apocalypse there, and they talk about the Four Horsemen of the Apocalypse in Supernatural.
Yes, they do. Yes, they do. Those are two pop culture places they reference. There's many others. There's, in fact, an entire video game franchise kind of dedicated to them.
Yeah, isn't that fancy?
Yeah, let's talk right. About,
what are they?
So, the Four Horsemen of the Apocalypse. They are very large figures in Christianity. They first appeared in the books of Zechariah and Ezekiel.
That's cool.
And they are considered harbingers of God's anger in those books and appear to bring about the end of days in the book of Revelation.
That's just rude, you know?
Yeah, well, you know. It is what it is, I guess.
I guess. It just seems rude to me.
Yeah. So, in the book of Revelation, the story goes that the Lamb of God, or the Lion of God, opens up four seals that is in a scroll in God's right hand. And undoing there's like seven seals, so he breaks four of the seven. And undoing these seals, he brings out the four beings that each ride on a horse. There's a white horse, a red horse, a black horse, and a pale horse. Some people think that the pale horse has more of like a greenish hue to it, almost more like that of like a bloated corpse. But we'll get into that later.
Looks like a zombie horse.
Yeah.
I like zombie horses.
See, we'll bring it back to something Rachel cares about, like zombies.
Yeah.
So, the book of Zechariah describes them just as four sentries that kind of patrol the earth and help keep it, like, quiet it down when it gets too rambunctious. So I guess when it gets too bad and God's like, whoa, you guys need to simmer down. So he takes out these four guard people that just calm it down.
I just imagine, like, the party got too loud, so.
Yeah, yeah.
The old neighbor next door sent over the four horsemen of the apocalypse.
I do like that imagery. I like that. That's a humorous way to look at it.
But, of course, in my head, they also don't have heads. They're just headless dudes riding around on horses, so. Okay. I'm getting my stories crossed a little bit, but that's how I picture it.
That's okay. That's all right. So, in the book of Ezekiel states that the stuff that they use are sword, famine, wild beasts, and plague.
Yeah, like bugs.
For what?
Plague and bugs. That's what I think.
Oh, yeah. Things that spread disease that are gross and creepy crawly.
Oh, I just think of, like, the plague of locusts, and they cover all the crops, and...
Oh, yeah.
I guess it's more famine than plague.
Yeah.
Either way, they're gross.
Yes, they are. Yeah, I'll agree with that. So, now we'll kind of do a somewhat deepish dive into the Four Horsemen, and then we'll wrap this thing up with some... fun little differences between them, or at least what I think is fun. You guys might not. So, on to the first horseman, the White Horseman. He carries a bow and wears a crown and rides forth as a conqueror and subjugator.
I thought you meant like a bow, like a hair bow.
No, I mean like the weapon.
Yeah, see, I like my picture better. It just keeps getting funnier.
That's fair and just. Where am I? Here we are. Okay, so for basically for almost 1900 years, the white rider was considered a positive symbol.
Huh.
Represented as either Jesus Christ or the gospel.
Mm-hmm.
Coming to conquer evil, I guess, and unite the world under one banner is, so to speak.
Yeah.
But in 1866, a man by the name of C.F. Wimple hypothesized that he was the Antichrist.
Oh.
And specifically, his vision of the Antichrist was Napoleon Bonaparte.
Like the short guy?
Put that in air quotes because Napoleon Bonaparte wasn't short by I think he was 5'9", so he's not short even by today's standards.
Well, okay, but isn't that what the Napoleon complex is
Yes, it's basically, that's
I'm just saying.
No, I know what you're saying, and I'm yeah, you're right, that is what it's who he's based off of, but I think if I remember right, he wasn't short, at all. He was normal size.
Yeah, I just know that's what he was supposed to be sugar.
Right. So, yeah. So obviously, this guy clearly didn't like Napoleon Bonaparte. But for some reason, this idea really gained traction, especially in the United States and even more especially in the evangelical Christian circles.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah. That's a fun little thing, I guess.
I don't know how much fun he is, but...
Yeah, I don't either, but... another interpretation of the White Horseman comes from a Mr. Edward Bishop Elliott, who posits that the White Rider is a metaphorical stand-in for the budding Roman Empire.
Mm-hmm.
So John, who is the author of the Book of Revelation, was banished by the Roman Empire, and he saw it, and a prophetic vision, he saw the empire rise into its age of prosperity, good civil unions and good governance. And the writer is supposed to, with the crown, is obviously supposed to represent the emperors who ruled with absolute power during the golden age of Rome, basically, when these books were being written.
Okay.
And this theory or hypothesis further accounts for the writer's use of the bow, in that this was a weapon that was used by the people on the island of Crete, which is the birthplace of the first emperor of this line of the Golden Age of Rome. So, and then, yeah, obviously during this time frame between the Golden Age, like, Rome became, like, basically the sole empire, with everybody else kind of being, like, small barbarian tribes about it. So, and then there's another popular theory out there that the White Horseman symbolizes just or righteous wars, which is why his horse is white.
Okay.
I don't know if I get it,
but okay.
Yeah, I mean, there's no real expansion on that. It's just like, oh, here's another thing we're throwing out there. Like, I'm sure there is, like, but I'd have to have done, like, I'd probably have to have, like, studied this for, like, a few months to actually, like, get into that stuff. Which, ain't nobody got time for that.
Yeah, not.
I don't know who this is, but shut up. Don't call me.
Shut up and don't call me.
Yeah, I don't know who this is.
That was really funny. Shut up and don't call me. We're going to get back to the story now.
Yeah. So, some people think that the White Horseman represents pestilence, with certain people citing this thought in the early 1900s. There's no real origin point for this theory. But most people cite that there's a line in the Bible where, you know, it says that they were given the power to kill through plague. You know, because we have in that book of Ezekiel that they were given the power to kill through sword, famine, wild beasts, and plague. So they cite that, I guess, as why he's pestilence. Yeah. So, oh, and then another, in 1916, a author by the name of Vicente Blasco Ibanez wrote The Forestman of the Apocalypse, which was adapted into a movie, because that's what you do with books.
Oh, yeah.
And in it, he writes that the White Horseman, while he was charging through the lands, would bend his bow back to shoot an arrow that was that had all the diseases of the world on it. So he would shoot poisoned arrows at people.
Oh.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So that's just a little bit about the White Horseman. So now we're going to talk about the Red Horseman.
Yay.
Yeah, this one is war. And it basically, like, this one, like some people say that, like, the White Horseman also is part of war, and, like, this one's more like civil war or civic strife.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not necessarily like an outward war against, like, nations, but it's like an inward war against each other.
Okay.
And he wields a sword, not a bow, but different.
Yeah, a little different.
Yeah. And yeah, as stated, he just represents slaughter on, like, a wholesale.
Oh.
And his horse is a fiery red, and he rides with his sword held upright, which in ancient times was a signal for entering battle.
Nice.
Yeah. And there's some, obviously, I think there's some theories out there that he represents the persecution of Christians, which was pretty common during the time that John was writing the book of Revelations. Because
mm-hmm.
It's people killing other people.
Oh, yeah.
And then going back to Mr. Edward Bishop Elliot, he states, or he theorizes, that the Red Horseman following the White Horseman is used to predict the downfall that the Roman Empire goes through. Because basically, like, once that line of emperors that kind of was part of the Gilded Age of Rome, there was all this civil unrest and strife, and, you know, since that just led to the downfall of it. In support, yeah, he cites the turmoil that following the death of Commodus, who was the son of Marcus Aurelius, which was the last of that line, as over the next 92 years, the Roman Empire had 32 emperors and 27 not emperors. So people that just took power, but like had no actual, like, quote, legitimate claim to the throne.
Interesting.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So on that note, we're going to take a short break and then we'll come back and talk about the other two horsemen.
Okay. Bring on the horses.
Yeah.
Call me.
Shut up. Don't call me. Yeah.
I'm going to start answering my phone that way. Shut up.
Do it. All right. Well, we're back.
Shut up. Call me.
We're back. And yeah, that's how we're going to answer our phones now. Shut up. Don't call me.
Jeff told me to. It's not my fault.
Yeah. Even to people that don't know who I am.
Well, my mom knows who you are.
That's true.
She's the one who calls me, so. And my dad.
Oh, well, there's your phone.
I know. Shut up. Don't text me.
All right. So we've briefly gone over the first horseman and the second horseman of the apocalypse, the white and the red horse. Now we're going to talk about the third horse. Okay, who rides? Who rides the black horse?
Black horse.
He brings about famine using a scale.
A scale?
Yes, which is indicated, I guess, how merchants would measure out how much, like, bread costs X amount. So they would basically weigh the amount of grain that they had, and they would say, all right, well, you pay gold until you till the scales equal out, and that's the fair price.
Huh.
Yes.
That's interesting.
Which is how, that's how bread was weighed during famine, I guess. Others interpret him as a arbiter of justice, with the scales being the scales of justice.
Right.
Although this being the scales being the symbol that was used during a famine, was quoted because he was saying, because he's quoted as saying that the price of bread during a famine would cost so much that even that, like, a person's daily wages would be barely enough for them to get enough bread to eat, live, basically. Mm. He is the only rider that is given a voice, because he's the only person that, he's the only one rider that says anything. And once again, going back to Mr. Elliot, who pops up throughout this because he wrote a book about this stuff. He interprets the black horse as a symbol of oppression that the Romans subjected their citizens to, particularly excessive taxes during that time period of civic unrest and upheaval.
Okay.
And he borrows this theory from The History of the Decline and Fall of the Roman Empire by Mr. Edward Gibbons, who wants to, as hinted at, tax their citizens heavily, especially during the reign of Emperor Caracalla, who is remembered as a tyrant in the highest order. Like, he would make up taxes for people because he wanted to fuel his excessive and extravagant lifestyle.
I see.
Yes, nice guy.
I feel like we have a lot of those types. They're like, yeah, I need more money, so.
Yeah.
Money, and like, you're gonna, I don't know, bad things happen to you because I took all your money.
Yeah. And there was another emperor, I guess, shortly thereafter, who stole property and tithes from churches and put them into the imperial treasury. So, like, he would take, like, something in a church, melt the gold down, and put it in his treasury to be used for his own personal stuff.
That's cute.
Right?
Yeah.
I thought so. So, on to the last rider, which is Death.
Ooh, yeah, Death.
Yes.
Wait, so I don't know. Okay, never mind.
What? No, what?
What color is your horse's Death on again?
Death is on a pale steed, though he's the one with the horse that some have more like the color of a sickly corpse or a zombie.
Right, but wait. So there's the red horse, black horse.
Mm-hmm. There's the white horse, the red horse, the black horse, then the pale horse.
What? What color is the pale horse?
What?
What do you call it, a pale? I don't know. I feel like a pale horse. Like, white is pretty pale. But it's as pale as you're going to get.
Yeah. So, yeah, they just said they're like, it's a pale horse in the sense that it's like an off-white.
Never mind. I was like, why are there two white horses?
Yeah. No, there's not. Yeah, so I think it's a translation from the language that was used back in the day to English.
Uh-huh.
Because, like, so it's pale or ashen or a pale green or a yellowish green are more exact terms of it.
Uh-huh. Well, like, I don't know. I was just like, wait, how do we have two?
Right. No, I understand.
I like the green zombie horse idea. That sounds good to me.
Okay. Well, that's what we'll go with, the green zombie horse.
Okay. So back to death and the zombie horse.
Yes. And as stated, you know, earlier, they were the four horsemen together were given power over the earth and authority to kill using sword, famine, plague, and all the animals of the earth. So they could stick lions on you.
Yes. I'm sorry. That's just a really cool power.
Right.
Attack, squirrels, attack.
So he is the only rider that has a name. And it is Thanatos. So for all of our people who have watched the Marvel movies, it sounds very similar to Thanos.
Yes, it does.
Yes, it do. And he is actually not described as having any like items with him, like the other ones, you know, had a bow, a sword, and a scale. He doesn't have anything. He's not mentioned having anything, but obviously death, him being death, modern imaginings see him with a scythe or a sickle.
Yeah.
Or some sort of tool of death. And he is the only person that is followed by something. He is followed by Hades, or the resting place of the dead.
He's got like a whole following him? That's kind of weird.
Yeah, so, well, basically what happens is as he rides through the countryside killing people, Hades swallows the dead up whole. Mm. And basically going back, so yeah, he rides the countryside killing with sword, famine, pestilence, wild beasts. Hades eats the dead. And once again, we'll go back to Mr. Elliot here, who says that death is a metaphor for the final stroke of the destruction of the Roman Empire. So following all the infighting, the disease caused by the famine. So caused by the infighting and famine caused an environment where disease could just run rampant and people were just dying like hand over fist.
Nice.
Yes.
Sounds like a good time.
Right? Because it also at this time, like if Roman at this point, the Roman Empire didn't really have the strength to defend its colonies. So those colonies would get attacked by barbarians. If they survived those, they were usually due to their wounds or the attack, they were greeted with sickness and starvation. So.
Yeah.
Man, this is a very, very cheery episode.
Yeah.
I've just got one little more section here and then we'll be done with this and we can move on to hopefully a more cheery topic next week with your topic.
Woo.
Yeah. So that is some different interpretations basically of the Four Horsemen mythos. So early Christian interpretations thought that there was that basically instead of it each instead of there being four horsemen, there was one horseman that rode four horses that were, you know, white, red, black, and pale.
Mm-hmm.
And they thought that this horse, that the person basically pulling the chariot or directing the chariot where to go was Jesus.
Nice.
Present-day interpretations see the horsemen as a prophecy of future calamities where large swaths of people die to these catastrophes.
Mm-hmm.
And it is said that during this time that basically Christians are called to repent before the actual end of days begins.
Very nice.
Yes. So others think that the horsemen were only symbols of basically the first 100 years or so of Christianity. So in this school of thought, the white horse symbolizes Parthian forces who were skilled with bows and rode white horses. The black horse is a result of the emperor's attempts to curb grapevine growth and encourage grain growth. Because I guess there was a shortage of people growing wheat to make bread for people.
Mm-hmm.
Because I guess grapevine growth was more profitable.
Probably wine. Hello.
Yeah. This attempt was rejected by the nobles and the ruling class because they weren't really affected by the increased cost of grain because they had all the money.
Well, yeah, money.
Yeah. And then obviously the red horse would be a symbol for the infighting of the Roman Empire at that time, you know, where you had emperors and going up against the Senate and all that wonderfulness.
That's always a good time.
Yeah. So there's obviously a lot more of these. The last one that I wrote down was for the Latter-day Saints community.
Okay.
Which believe that the horsemen showcase and represent calamities of the past.
Interesting take.
So in that one, the white horse represents the prophet Enoch in his ministry fighting against the enemies of the Lord. The red horse represents the events that led up to the great flood with Noah. The black horse represents the period where Joseph was sold into slavery in Egypt.
Hmm.
And the pale horse represents the death leading up to the birth of Jesus Christ.
Interesting.
Well, that is just a little sampler of the Four Horsemen of the Apocalypse. I'm sure, like I said, given enough time, I could probably do deep dives into all these and each one get their own episode. But it's not what I did because it's not what I wanted to do.
There you go.
So that is everything that I have today. It is a fairly short episode, but I'm okay with that because we're over here talking about quality of content, not we're not going to give you an hour and a half long episode that's not good. We'll give you 30 minutes. It's great.
Well, yeah.
Yeah.
I'm always great.
Yeah.
Even though we have how many phone calls today? My phone never rings. You got a call. I got a call. I got a text.
Yeah, everybody just wants to talk to us. They were popular people.
Yeah, I didn't even get to say, shut up, don't call me. I had to hang up and then text her and say, I'll call you back.
Well, there's always tomorrow. You can always pull that line out tomorrow.
Nobody will call me tomorrow.
Okay. Never mind. Okay. My bad. I can't wait for you to actually say it at work.
What?
Can't wait for you to say it at work.
Shut up, don't call me?
Yeah.
Oh, I've said it at work.
Oh, okay.
No. I've also said, shut up, don't IM me. Don't email me.
Yeah.
I don't like talking to people at work.
Right.
But I have a new job now, and people don't call me, so it's fine.
Yeah. No. All right. Well, I don't have anything else for us today. Do you have anything that you want to mention or add or anything like that?
I don't think so. Hold on. I was trying to check the calendar for something.
Oh, okay.
Good. That's okay. Why can't I find what I was looking for?
I don't know.
What is today? Okay. Oh, no. Wait, maybe. I don't know. Never mind.
Okay. Well, on that note, everybody, hope you liked the episode. If you did, share it with somebody you like. If you didn't, share it with somebody you hate. Let us know if I missed anything that seems relevant or cool about the Four Horsemen. I probably did. You can do that at our Gmail, which is grandmathepodcast@gmail.com. You can also tweet Rachel at it because she's the one that handles our Twitter.
Yeah, I do that sometimes.
And that's all I have for today. Do you have anything else? Did I forget anything in this outro?
No, I think we're good.
All right. Well, on that note, then, I have been Jeff.
I'm Rachel.
And this has been Grandma Tell Me a Scary Story. Good night.
Good night.
Good night, Grandma.